0-1 to Poole. In the air, left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run. Stunned in disbelief here in Houston.
And we're here with our special Meet Mutual time with Kyle Reese from the Redbird Daily. Of course, I'm Daniel Schaap, Dusty 70 at the bat, you know all that. But you're not here to listen to me, you're here to listen to Kyle, because that's, unless you have really questionable taste, in which case, okay. Kyle, we have seen a lot of fluctuation, I guess, over the last week. Of guys getting called up and sent down in that bullpen spot. We've seen Josh Lucas. We saw Mike Myers, who you and I talked about last time, and how bad that was going to be, and then turned out to be exactly as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, Lucas down. Now we've seen Ryan Sheriff. A guy we haven't seen is Montgomery from Memphis. Can we talk a little bit just about these guys? Why, maybe, how interchangeable really are they?
Yeah, I think interchangeable is really the word. I like the two guys that have been added to the 40-man. I think Josh Lucas, you know, we saw him. He was kind of impressive. He wasn't special. He has a really good slider, and, you know, that's good. And then, you know, the Cardinals just called up Ryan Sheriff, and he's kind of the same way, but from the left side. He's equally good against righties as he is against lefties. He's really worked hard to not be a loogie. He's in the minors, he's really honed his craft so that he could, you know, he could pitch against righties. And then, you know, like you mentioned, Mark Montgomery, who was a really highly thought of relief pitching prospect out of the Yankee system, who dealt with a lot of arm injuries and saw his velocity ebb and flow, throughout his six seasons in the Yankees organization. At one point, early on in his career, he was striking out a little over 14 guys per nine innings. He always had a little wild side, in him. But the spring training, he was cut by the Yankees, and the Cardinals signed him as a minor league free agent. He's an interesting guy, but there really isn't very much to differentiate him from Lucas or Sheriff. You know, one thing that you and I have talked about is, and we talked about it a while back, if the Cardinals wanted actual relief in their bullpen, you know, and we're really focused on winning just this season, and not looking at the long term, that relief would have came in the form of, you know, Luke Weaver a month ago. It would have came in the form of John Gant, Sandy Alcantara, Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson. You know, all the arms that they have as an option to really impress out of the bullpen are all starting pitchers in the minor leagues. There really aren't too many relief options, I mean, I say that, but there really aren't too many relief options that could supplement the major league ball club. They're fine guys, you know, they're Matt Bowman, when Matt Bowman is just average, you know, before Matt Bowman is ticketing his, you know, he's already scheduling his Tommy John surgery for next year. Like, they're those kind of guys, you know, the guys who in June of last year, you would be saying, all right, now it's Cardinals are losing 8-4. It's probably time to bring Josh Lucas in. Although I am anxious to see what Ryan Sheriff can do. I don't know when he'll get the chance. But he's put on a little bit more muscle. He's augmenting his delivery a little bit. He's been really impressive, especially against righties. And, you know, we're back to four lefties out of the bullpen, which is incredible. Kevin Segrist pitched for for Palm Beach today, threw one inning of one run, one strikeout, one walk baseball, which means that here in a little time, we're going to have five relievers in the bullpen, that are left-handed, which is incredible to me, unless Sheriff gets sent back down. But anyways, I'm rambling there. A lot of these guys are pretty much the same guy, with just different little things here and there. They all throw in the low 90s, although Sheriff can, I've seen him pump it up into the mid 90s, but, you know, they all have a pretty good secondary offering that can flash plus, like we saw out of Lucas, over the weekend. But yeah, they're all kind of the same guy.
Yeah, and that's really a troubling thing as well when you start looking at, the fact that Trevor Rosenthal is out for this year and next year, there just doesn't feel like there's any internal options to replace him. I mean, at least not obviously, are there?
No. I mean, other than, again, the starting mm-hmm. pitching options, you know, I think earlier in the week you were talking about Alex Reyes. I still think that the Cardinals they'll monitor his innings next year when he's finally able to pitch. And I really do think that that'll probably be the best option. I'd love to have him in the starting rotation. I just don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. I keep going back to Blogger Day when Mo said that Alex Reyes was never going to start the season in the rotation. It was never going to happen. And, you know, I would think that they would be extra careful with him coming off of Tommy John surgery. So, you know, in my mind, your only closing options, if you're looking internally, will either be Alex Reyes or maybe Dakota Hudson. I know Colin Gardner, who I'm on the podcast with, Prospects to Be Named Later, who writes for the Redbird Daily. I know he's really big on Dakota Hudson as a potential closing candidate, and I can see why. But it's not going to come from a minor league reliever. It'll have to come from a minor league starter.
Well, and that really transitions us, because this week, along with all the Rosenthal things and all that stuff, I guess the most maybe telling thing is that Sandy Alcantara moved to the bullpen in Springfield. Does this mean anything? Is this to line him up to make a jump to the major league bullpen this year? What are you thinking about this move?
Yeah, I definitely, that's definitely what I'm thinking. It all happened very unusually. They made the announcement that Trevor Rosenthal was done for the season. Sandy Alcantara was scheduled to start that game on Wednesday night, and almost at the last minute, because Springfield published their lineup for Wednesday night at about an hour and a half before game time, and it still had Alcantara as a starting pitcher. So somewhere in that hour and a half, Pedro Echemendia was moved from the bullpen to start that game, and they used Alcantara for two innings of relief, where he let up one hit and struck out three, and from all signs was as good as he's been all year, which is really interesting. That timing is not a coincidence. I don't know if it's in an effort to make sure that he is ready to pitch out of the bullpen. It's not an innings limit thing. That was the first question that I got a lot was, oh, maybe they're just moving him to the bullpen for a short period of time to limit his innings. He's right in line with where his innings were last year. Where he ended innings, I think he threw 121 innings last year. He's right at like 122 this year before last night's relief appearance. And, you know, normally they like to build on that. So you're looking at an additional 20 to maybe even 30 innings on top of that from year to year. So he was ticketed and was on pace for that 140, 150 magic mark. And, you know, that went out the window, and all indications are that he's going to continue to pitch out of the bullpen. They'll need to add him into the 40-man roster next year, and that's a really good sign that he is going to get a September call-up. They'll have to do a little cleaning out on the Major League 40-man for it to happen. But, you know, I would almost assume that at some point, depending on how Springfield finishes their playoff run, because they've had a really bad week and have kind of gone from being in good standing to making the playoffs to kind of falling off. But I do definitely think we'll see Sandy Alcantara in some capacity, whether it be mid-September or late September, maybe even early September, touch the Major League roster.
If I'm remembering right, and I may not be, Alcantara was a guy that you said you hoped would not make it to the big leagues this year because it would hamper his development. Does that still hold if he's pitching out of the bullpen?
You know, not this late in the season. If it would have happened earlier in the year, like say they would have called upon him on June or July or even August, then like I didn't want to see that, and I didn't want to see him get brought up as a starter. And even if he was just going to pitch out of the bullpen, I didn't have faith that he would get the faith that he needs to pitch in the situations. I thought it'd be one of those situations where he'd kind of be up here and wouldn't get a chance to pitch as often, you know, maybe similar to how Sam Tuivalala was up until tonight, apparently. But now at this point, you know, you let him. Personally, what I would like to see is I want to see these guys have a playoff push a little bit for him in Springfield. But yeah, at this point, you have to add him to the 40-man next year. I'm okay with him coming up to the major league level in some capacity in September and getting a chance to pitch an inning or two or 10 if he earns it.
You know, somebody online today, of course, not anybody that has any information or anything. It's just speculation like most of us do. Wanted to put down that he thought both Alcantara and Jack Flaherty would come up to the major leagues this weekend. Now, it does sound a little bit like, it really kind of feels like Flaherty's going to get that call and take Mike Leake's spot, doesn't it, the way the Cardinals are talking?
I think so. You know, it's a really interesting situation. I personally would definitely, if I was in charge, start Jack Flaherty on Saturday. I would have no question about it. I would have no trouble finding a roster spot for him. I would definitely make that move. The interesting thing, of course, I'm sure most people know, is that John Gant had his start moved back to Sunday, which makes him a possible option to start the game on Saturday. You know, I'm not so hot on that. John Gant's pitched really well lately, which is good. I'm just so anxious to see Flaherty at the major league level. And then the other interesting thing, of course, is that Mike Leake is still pitching as if he's going to throw on Saturday. And I can't help but think that, you know, loyal Mike Matheny is going to stick with Mike Leake for one more start. Again, all I can say is that if I were in that situation, I would definitely go Flaherty. And I guess the only other wild card there is Austin Gomber, who, if I'm doing the math right, pitched on Sunday. You know, that'll kind of be a tell. If he gets scratched in his next start, which I believe is Friday, because they played, oh wait, no, his start is on Saturday. If he gets scratched, that'll be a sign it's him. And the reason that they might choose him is because, just like with Alcantara, they have to add him to the 40-man roster next year. And Gomber has been as good as anyone over the last 2 months in the Cardinals organization pitching. He's holding hitters to a batting average against right around 200. His ERA is right around 200. He's letting up a couple too many home runs, but you know, there are so many options. I don't know who it's going to be. If I'm putting all my money on it, I still think it's going to be Leake, just because it'll have to be a front office decision, because I can't help but think that Mike Matheny would pick Leake. And I hope it's Flaherty, but I have no idea. I'm really baffled, and the fact that they're, you know, we're here Thursday night and they still haven't said who it's going to be. You know, Mike Leake's got to be frustrated. And, you know, I'm sure the other guys we mentioned at the minor league level, except for John Gant, probably are losing some sleep and excitement over what might happen.
Yeah, I would think so. It is weird that they haven't, unless they're trying to determine if Leake's really healthy or find some obscure thing that they can put him on the DL with. It is really weird that, you know, you've got a guy that's been your starter, that would be your normal starter, and you're not committed to him yet. So I think that it will be interesting to watch. And, you know, you mentioned Gant, and he is on the 40-man. It also may depend, honestly, about how the next couple days go. If the Cardinals lose tonight, and they're losing right now, and they slip maybe a little bit farther back, you know, if you start falling a little bit farther out of that race, maybe you don't start a Flaherty. Because Flaherty, am I correct, he does not have to be added to the 40-man this offseason?
No, he doesn't.
So that may play into it as well. I don't know. It will be pretty fascinating to watch. Let's talk a little bit, shift a little bit of gears, and talk about some thing that happens in the offseason. And we referenced it last time out. It's the Arizona Fall League. For those that aren't too familiar, why don't you give just a little bit of overview of what the Arizona Fall League is and what kind of players go out there?
You know, we spent a little bit of time talking about how the minor league, like, development, how minor league development has changed over the last couple of years. For a while there, the Arizona Fall League is where you would send the guys who you were on the bubble about adding to the 40-man. The guys who were 40-man eligible, who you were still trying to get a feel, all right, can this guy do well against some of the better prospects who were kind of in that same fringe area. But over the last couple of years, we're seeing teams add guys to the Arizona Fall League that are 1 year into their major league career, which are, you know, into their professional career, not major league career, their professional career, which it's kind of unique. Last year, Paul DeJong and Harrison Bader were at that level. Rowan Wick was there, more of the traditional Arizona Fall League type. Same thing with Ryan Sheriff. So that makes predicting who's going to be there just a little bit more difficult. One thing that you can always count on, and it's the cheat when picking players, is if players missed a good amount of time during the regular season and they need to make up at bats or innings, those are usually guys who are ticketed for the Arizona Fall League. But, you know, most people consider the Arizona Fall League the finishing school for prospects. Again, it's a little bit more complicated than that, because it's hard to be a finishing school when you have guys who are at the single A level playing against guys who are at the triple A level, who, you know, in some cases, some of these guys have actually played in the majors for just a small period of time. But that's the gist of the Arizona Fall League. It happens during the MLB playoff time, and it's a really interesting league to follow, and usually pitchers do a little bit better than hitters there. Austin Gomber was there last year and pitched great. It's really hard to get a feel, in my opinion, for how to evaluate how someone's going to do. I know that the Cardinals have had a lot of success being able to project that Arizona Fall League success for their players and their next season. Luke Weaver was really good there a couple years ago. Alex Reyes got suspended for smoking pot there a couple years ago. And, you know, like I said, Gomber, they felt really comfortable with as he entered the season before he, you know, dealt with some issues. So that's the gist of the Arizona Fall League. Every team sends, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 prospects. There'll be 6 teams that make up one team in the Arizona Fall League, six major league organizations that make up, or I guess 5 major, if I can count, 6 and 5 and the 30 with the 8, and then you can't, but there are 6 teams, so 5 teams make up the roster, and it's just a really interesting little thing that happens.
Yeah, and each team has a coach on the roster too, don't they? Isn't that right? They send somebody out there.
Yeah, that's right. Normally, if I remember correctly, the last couple of years, the Cardinals have sent Jason Simontacci. They like to have him. I think Mike Schilt was a manager at one point. What I'd like to see, speaking of that, is I'd like to see Stubby Clapp find his way out there. I think if that's something that he's interested in, I think that'd be a good environment for him.
Yeah, I could see that. Although, may not be able to this year with the playoff run and stuff. May not care to turn around and go right back out there, but, yeah, it is interesting. I wonder if they, you know, this is kind of a little bit sidetracked, but I wonder if they also think of that as a, you know, potential managing ground, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what they have in managers as well. So let's take it when we're talking about these, you know, just kind of guessing on who might go out there. And we're still 2 or 3 weeks away from that kind of announcement, but let's start with your first criteria. Is there anybody that missed significant time this year that you think they'd send out there?
Yeah, those are the two easy ones for me. Edmundo Sosa, who is in the Gulf Coast League right now, rehabbing, shortstop prospect. He's been out for about 2 months, and he's already on the 40-man. They need to find out exactly what kind of prospect he is, and he needs at-bats. Spent one game at Springfield, spent most of the season at Palm Beach, struggled a little bit in the field, struggled a little bit at the plate. I would definitely think that he's ticketed. I imagine the other thing that the Arizona Fall League does is each team gets to designate primary play status on a player, and that means that guy, because the rosters are so full, that means if you say, all right, Edmundo Sosa is going to be our primary designated player, that means that Edmundo Sosa is going to play as often as they can get him in the lineup, instead of maybe playing every other day or playing 1 in every 3 games and then 2 games out of every 3 and kind of being on a rotating. So I wouldn't be surprised if Edmundo Sosa becomes that player, because he needs it. He's an important cog in the Cardinals' developmental mindset because he plays shortstop and he can play shortstop. And, you know, he's so young, he needs the at-bats. And then the other guy is at Springfield, and he's been pretty solid at Springfield since coming off the DL, is Eli Alvarez, who's a second baseman, who still does some weird little things, makes some mental mistakes here and there, but he's a really, really, really good hitter. And I would think that those two, like, in my mind, I've already it's already guaranteed that those are two guys who are going to be at that level. The other guy that I can't help but think is Sandy Alcantara. I really think there's a chance that we see Sandy Alcantara there. And it just, you know, he's pitched a lot of innings, which might throw that off. But I really think that he's the kind of guy that would be perfect. Like, you talk about from an aspect of finishing school for prospects. He's had an up and down roller coaster 2017. He's been really good lately. Maybe he comes up to the majors, pitches out of the bullpen, pitches really well. But that wouldn't exclude him from the Arizona Fall League. He would still have a chance to pitch in that league. And personally, I would like to see him at that league. So those are three guys. Like I said, normally you have six guys. And then from there, it's a total crapshoot. You know, in the past, guys have repeated the league. Tyler O'Neill, who is a Cardinal prospect, he's already done it twice, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals sent him for a third time. You know, he's been really good at the Arizona Fall League too. Like really good, which makes him really interesting. Harrison Bader's done it once. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a short list of guys who might go back there. I would doubt it, but it's a name that might find his way. The real thing to sort through is trying to find a relief pitcher that has to be added to the 40 man, that hasn't been added yet, because there's always one of those guys. You know, I think about someone like maybe Kevin Hergett, who's gone from relief pitching to starting down in Memphis. You know, maybe they send him, just to kind of get a feel for if his stuff will play against really, really talented players. He's a righty. He's been in the system forever at this point, it seems like, and has kind of a little interesting story. He was a 39th overall draft pick. I mean, that's about as good as I can do. Without looking at the Springfield roster, you know, they've got some interesting guys. I guess there's a chance like Magnera Sierra finds his way there. I don't think that'll happen. You know, Oscar Mercado is an interesting guy, but he's had a really long season. I would love for him to get a taste of the Arizona Fall League. Again, I don't know if it'll happen. And then of course Randy Arozarena, who has struggled coming down the stretch. He's had a really, really tough end of August here, but I think they'll cut him off. I think he's seen enough. I think that they'll be really, really cautious with him. And then the one guy who I would love to see find his way to the Arizona Fall League, is Andrew Kisner. I love the idea of Andrew Kisner in the Arizona Fall League, and that's one guy that I'm really hoping gets the opportunity to play in that league. This is about the stage of Carson Kelly's development, where Kisner's at now, where Kelly was talked about going there, and those are the guys that, like, I have my eye on. I still think Gomber could find his way there because he has kind of a shortage of innings, but those are the guys that I think, and I know that that's really broad, and I'm more or less just spewing names and not really giving a whole lot of details there. But that's the Arizona Fall League for the most part. So that's who I think. I'm 100% sure that you'll see Sosa and Alvarez, or at least as sure as I can be that you'll see Sosa and Alvarez. I think Alcantara has a really good chance, and then I think those other guys have as good of a chance as anyone else. So that's it.
Well, you know, you talk about Alcantara, and that was my thinking just because of what they're doing with him now. Yeah. If they do want to shift him into that relief role to have him as an option for next year, give him a chance, a little bit more time to get used to coming out of the bullpen. So, and with Kinsner, I wonder if they'll send him if there is some thought of trading Carson Kelly this offseason. And again, I don't know that they want to necessarily, but, you know, the way things are going with Yadier Molina's playing time and such of that nature, you know, maybe they decide they're going to go ahead and trade Kelly and get some veteran backup and, you know, start grooming Kinsner as that catcher of the future. I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I would really love to see him in that league. Maybe not necessarily from a trading Kelly perspective, although I do get what you're saying there, and I think that there is merit to that. But just because I want to see how Kisner does handling some top of the line starting pitchers. When he started the year in Peoria, it was just really Jordan Hicks. And then he got moved up to Springfield and he's had Alcantara and he's had Gomber and Hudson. I don't think his time overlapped with Flaherty. He has Helsley now. I want to see how he handles outside of organization pitching. And that's, and also, I want to see how well that bat's going to play against some really tough pitching too. His bat is so advanced. Colin and I spent a lot of time this weekend talking about his bat, and he has a weird little quirk that sometimes gets him to buckle on off-speed pitches. He kind of like curls in, but that's a minor thing that has never changed. I went back and looked at video when he was in college. It has never changed. It's just, in my opinion, it's just a little quirk in his swing that allows him to stay back on the baseball, load a little bit, and since his bat is lightning fast, get around. And I just, he's the kind of prospect that I want to see in the Arizona Fall League, similar to the same way that DeJong and Bader were 1 year after being drafted. There's just so much upside there, and I want to see how he does against that premier talent, that finishing school talent.
All right, well, you've got your weekly awards coming out, very soon on Redbird Daily. Anybody that stood out to you this week, positively or negatively?
Yeah, that should be out tomorrow about 9 o'clock, Friday about 9 o'clock. And I got to spend the weekend in Springfield, as we teased last week, and it was a really, really good weekend for Springfield. They hit some home runs, drove in some runs, had some pretty decent pitching. On like a negative side, before I get into who like had a really good week, you can tell, you know, one of my favorite pitching prospects in the Cardinals organization is Zach Gallen. And you can really tell that Zach Gallen is wore down. He's at about 140 innings. He threw right at about 100 innings in between college and the pros last season. And he doesn't have command of his pitches. His fastball velocity is ticking up, but the velocity and all his other stuff is ticking down, which is kind of interesting. But you can just tell that he's really struggling. We saw him on Saturday night, and he was pulled early in the game. I'll stick solely with what the positives were that I saw at Springfield. Austin Gomber looked great. I'm not sure a week ago I would have advocated in any way for Austin Gomber to pitch in the major leagues this year, even with as good as he's been, down the stretch here, and even with as good as his stuff is. But watching him on Sunday pitch, he let up 1 2-run home run. And he stayed in control for the rest of the game. His pitch count got high. He threw like 108 pitches in 6 2/3 innings. And when they pulled him from the game, he was ready to go. He got 2 quick outs in the 7th. And in my opinion, he should have stayed in the game. I'm really, really impressed with what I've seen out of Austin Gomber. You definitely see those little emotional moments where he gets really fired up. And I just can't get enough of that, you know. He'll yell into his glove a little bit. You know, we've seen that out of Luke Weaver. We've seen that out of all these guys. It's not an obscene amount of anger. It's not like Jose Lima losing his mind on the mound or, you know, Steve Klein flipping the bird to a manager. You know, it's nothing like that. It's a little bit more refined, a little bit more in control, similar to what you see out of, you know, like we saw yesterday a little bit out of Luke Weaver and, you know, Lance Lynn, but I've been so impressed with him from like an organizational, like wide overlook. It's been kind of a rough week in the system. All the teams were at 500 or below, except for the short season clubs. Johnson City had a pretty good week. State College had a pretty good week. But other than that, it's kind of all systems a go. Palm Beach still doesn't have a hitter. Really worth writing about, as I find out every week. Not to bag on the talent at Palm Beach. Peoria has another guy named Anthony Hsu, who was not drafted last year but signed as an undrafted free agent, who had a couple really good starts this week. Peoria just seems to be the place, the breeding ground for obscure prospects that are pitching prospects that are control command first guys. You know, Michael Riley at first, and then Austin Warner, who pitched for the River City Rascals here and was signed out of the independent league. And then put in Peoria and Anthony Hsu here too. So that's a really interesting thing. Another great week from Jose Dallas Garcia. Another great week from Jack Flaherty. I mentioned John Gant. It's, you know, there are a lot of really good singular performances. The two guys that really stuck out to me this week, and Colin and I talked a little bit about Jacob Wilson, who isn't one of the guys that I'm talking about, but Jacob Wilson had a really great week. I think he had another really great game. He's played really good defense all over the diamond. But Jose Adolis Garcia has played really, really good since being sent down to Springfield. he hasn't let the demotion deject him in any manner. He's hitting home runs, he's hitting doubles, he's stealing bases, he's running around, beating out infield singles, which has been really great. And then the other guy is a shortstop at the Johnson City level named Imeldo Diaz. And Diaz is 19. He was traded from the Red Sox to the Cardinals for international signing money. I don't know much about his defense. I've been meaning to look up a little bit more about his defense. But the reason I bring him up is he's been really good offensively since being traded to the Cardinals. And he's doing at the Johnson City level in the Appalachian League in rookie ball short season what we all hope Delvin Perez would be doing. Again, his defense, I can't give a really good scouting report on. What I know is that he isn't hurting Johnson City. He's not lighting up the stat sheet with errors of any manner. He's playing short. And his offense has been right on par. In like 90 at-bats with the Cardinals, I think he has 3 doubles, 4 home runs. I'm guessing he doesn't have a ton of speed. He's interesting to me. And again, I bring him up because that's the contrast. He's only 19 years old. He's not so much older than Delvin. And, you know, Delvin Perez's season is over. He suffered a fracture in his hand or his wrist. Mm-hmm. He won't be able to play anymore in 2017, which basically makes his 2017 year of development a complete waste between the temper tantrum and the demotion and the lack of success, which is a bummer. But it's nice to see that someone has stepped up in his absence. And you can never have enough of that, that's for sure.
That's true. And, you know, maybe sometimes it'll take something to get light a fire, and maybe that's what it'll take for Delvin, because you're right. There hasn't been a whole lot of positive things for him this year. And so we definitely, given the hope and the hype on him, would like to see that turn around some for next year. Yeah.
You know, the thing real fast about Delvin about Delvin Perez that's really interesting to me is as we entered 2017, a lot of people thought he was going to start the season at Peoria. And he didn't. And he started the season at Johnson City, which a lot of prospect people would view as a step backwards. I personally would have started him at Johnson City. I like the idea of being a little bit more cautious with some of these prospects until they can, you know, unless they're like advanced college bats, or advanced college arms. I like being a little bit more conservative with the prospects. But now we're in a position where we're entering 2018. There's a good chance that Delvin Perez is going to start the season again at a short season club, and that short season club is probably going to be Johnson City, which means that he has had 1 year, and not just of someone saying that his development has been, you know, has been retarded, like I just did, but of actual stopped development. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible. You know, that's not an easy thing to come back from. We've seen what that does for Nick Plummer. CJ McElroy, who was a prospect a little while back. You know, only the rarest of advanced bats can really work through that at that level. Charlie Tilson did a really good job of it, you know, missing an entire year that early in his development. But that's not an easy thing to come back from. And when there are already maturity issues on top of that, there's a lot of reason to be concerned. I guess there's a chance that he starts the year at Peoria next year. You know, maybe he reinvents himself in the offseason and the Cardinals are impressed, which could very well happen. We're still talking about a very, very young man here. But the fact that he's going to probably start at Johnson City is a concern.
You know, we talk so much about, you know, especially professional players or maybe upper minors, major leaguers or upper minors, playing winter ball in Venezuela or other places of that nature. Is that something that he could do? You know, I don't know how long that take for the hand to heal, but, you know, could do some of that this offseason and hope to work on his game?
Yeah, I would bet that if that hand heals, and like you said, it's a hand injury, it's a fracture of some kind. I don't know exactly what the details are on it. If that thing heals up in time, I could definitely see him finding his way to the Dominican and playing, you know, or, you know, playing in the Puerto Rican League or something like that, just to finish up, just to get some at-bats before he enters spring training next year. That's definitely a possibility.
All right. Well, good stuff as always. We've gone about half an hour or so. Kyle, I appreciate it, and look forward to your awards tomorrow up on the Redbird Daily. And this week's edition of Prospect Be Named Later, you know, enjoying that as well. So look forward to both of those things.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Daniel. I look forward to listening to you and Alan tomorrow as well.
Suter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!